is the first Sunday of the month, and we have a member presentation, and this was a different one because I announced it last week that we were going to do this. I couldn't surprise Larry because they do all the work here. So, Larry, come up here and sit with me.
Yay!
Yeah, we even got to have pictures of Larry when he was little. I've never seen that picture. Do you know about this picture?
Yeah, I know about it. I didn't know she had it, but I know about it.
Yeah, and then waiting to see her husband.
How old do you think you were in that picture?
I think that was from second grade.
Second grade.
That pitted her. Because I've always asked the Lord, why did I not marry Larry the first time? Because I've been married. Uh-huh. I was married in 1980 and divorced in 1983. When I discovered, after talking to Grandma Ma Thacker, that in 1980, my beloved was in second grade, and that would have been a felony. Even in Arkansas. Yeah.
It would have been fifth grade, not second grade.
Yeah, sorry.
Still, you would have been in jail.
Would have been a felony, even in Arkansas, where we're younger.
Okay, you know how this works, Larry. I'm going to ask you some questions. If there's some that you don't want to talk about, I'll go through those. But we want to kind of see if we can get some information on you, get a little bit better knowing you, and find out some things about you that we didn't already know. First off, where were you born?
Arkadelphia, Arkansas.
Arkadelphia?
Arkadelphia, yeah.
Where is that?
If you go up 30 into Arkansas, and you hit Arkadelphia before you hit Hot Springs and Little Rock.
Oh. So, is that where you grew up?
No, actually, I kind of grew up all over the place because Dad was first in the military and then in the ministry. And it seemed like things just always, but most of the growing up that I can remember or have fond memories of, I should say, was various places in Arkansas, Little Rock, Conway, a little town outside of West Memphis.
Was your dad in the service when you were born?
Not when I was born, but he went in, I think I was two when he went to boot camp, and he was in for 4 years. Thought he was going to Vietnam, but they started pulling out about the time he got out of boot camp.
You have any brothers and sisters?
One brother and one sister, both younger.
Okay. So you were the first of the family, huh?
Yeah.
So what disease is it that you, I'm assuming you were born blind, is that right?
That's right.
It wasn't something that you gradually got worse and worse, it was just born that way. Did your parents know that you had this condition before you were born?
No, they came to realize it shortly after because I didn't respond to visual stimulation. And so they had it checked out. But at the time, and my dad will still tell you it was because of the forceps delivery, but having run into some information later on, I think what it actually is a condition called optic nerve hypoplasia, where the optic nerves in the retinas don't develop properly. And a lot of other things can go along with it, including stunted growth, which kind of applies. But thankfully, or at least, you know, I don't think so, and the other people may disagree, but thankfully the mental challenges didn't come with that. That can happen.
So your dad thinks it was the forceps used to deliver you, is that what his belief was?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you were a small child, did they think there was ever going to be a way that they could make you see?
Well, mostly we prayed. In fact, they tell me that I have what I have as a result of prayer, which always had me asking, well, Lord, how come you didn't finish? But I've come to a place of acceptance with that. I believe the Lord has told me, like he told Paul, my grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And he intends me to be as I am, to do what he's called me to do.
Amen.
We prayed a lot growing up. You know, although we'd been in Baptist churches off and on, we were also in a lot of Pentecostal, charismatic type churches. I've been prayed over more times than you can count.
So, growing up in your house, you were the oldest child. Then your sister came, or your brother?
Brother.
Then your brother, and then your sister. And so, what was it like growing up in your house? Your dad was a pastor at that time.
He did various things growing up, but his focus was always ministry. He did sort of bring the military background. I was one of those kids that had to fall in for inspection. But he did a lot of ministry-related stuff. I remember going to youth camps and so forth, because he was a youth leader for a while. And when we moved, a lot of times we moved because he was getting involved with a new church, or later on it was because he was trying to get back into the military as a chaplain and needed to get a seminary degree. So that's how we ended up in West Memphis, Arkansas, across the river from Memphis, Tennessee, where Mid-America was, and then eventually in Kansas City, Missouri.
As a young boy, what was expected of you? Were you treated different than your brothers and sisters, did you go to a regular school?
Most of the time, as a young child up through fourth grade, most of the time was spent at the school for the blind there in Arkansas. But my dad could see that wasn't good for me. That the culture there was sort of a subculture. Apparently, in talking to some of the leadership there, he picked up on the feeling that the kids there, the staff thought the kids there weren't going to amount to anything. And so he, when we moved from Little Rock to Conway, he pulled me out of that and put me in regular school. And most of the time, there was one semester in high school where I went back, and I could see for myself how different it was, because I watched some of my friends who I knew were very smart basically sleep through class and still be able to get a good grade. And then I went back to regular school in Kansas City, and I had been taking algebra there at the school for the blind, and the teacher was good. I credit her for helping me understand a little better. She knew how to teach people who were blind complicated math, but even at that, we were still a semester behind what the people were doing in the public school when I got there. I had to go back and take a remedial algebra class because I couldn't keep up with the level they were at.
I think your dad and God saw something special in you, knew that you weren't just this little blind boy that couldn't do things for himself, that he knew, your dad knew, that you were going to make something out of yourself, didn't he?
I am very thankful for my parents. They showed wisdom beyond their years in the way that they raised me. They didn't treat me special. They didn't ever tell me that I can remember. There must have been times, but I don't have any memory of them saying to me, you can't do that because you're blind. I wanted to ride a bicycle, they let me ride a bicycle. I wrecked a bicycle. I still got to ride a bicycle. They really did not put any limitations on me. It must have given them lots of sleepless nights.
Yeah. But,
if I thought I could do it, they let me do it. I'm very thankful for that, because it meant that I didn't think that way. I never thought I can't do it. I thought, how am I going to do it?
Yeah. Not if, but how. So you grew up in a Christian home. Were you introduced to being in church early in your... Did you constantly, like me, seem like you were always in church?
We were definitely in church a lot. And, you know, like any typical kid, sometimes I was okay with it, other times not so much.
When do you remember the time when you invited Jesus Christ into your life?
I do, although not with a great detail. I do remember where and when, or at least roughly, it was the summer of my sixth year. And I remember being, we were in Albany, Georgia at the time. He had just gotten out of the military. We were still in the area. And there was white carpet on the floor. I remember white carpet on the floor. And I was in the floor with Dad. He was telling me about it, and I prayed with him. And then I went to tell my mom that I was a Christian. I remember that.
Yeah. It's very unusual for a father to actually lead his son to Christ. You know, that's a special thing. It's something that doesn't happen often enough.
Sure.
So when you were growing up, you went to high school, graduated high school, then what?
Well, that sort of opens a difficult chapter in my life. We were in Kansas City at the time that I graduated, and I'm thankful for the education I got there, but I didn't really enjoy high school. I didn't really make any friends. I thought I was in love with this girl that I had met at a summer camp, and I went back. I figured out a way to go back to Arkansas, went to the University of Arkansas, and got involved in that situation. And I don't really, especially since we're putting this on tape, want to go into a lot of detail as to what happened there and why it didn't work out. Suffice it to say that I had to acknowledge my own part and my own sin in the situation before I could move on.
How long were you married?
On paper, that was about 18 months.
So you come out of high school, go to college in Arkansas, meet this young lady, get married. Then that doesn't work out. What do you do now? You're no longer living at home with your parents, right?
Well, I ended up moving back with my parents because
were they still in Georgia?
Or no, we've been all kind of places since then. They were living in Kansas City, Missouri at the time, or Independence actually, when I moved back with them. I went to Dad and I said, "This ain't right. I'm not supposed to be back. Let me pay you something to stay." He didn't ask for it. I went to him and said, I need to compensate you for having to take me on after I'm supposed to be gone.
Did you, as I experienced that same thing you went through, and Linda, Priscilla, other people have, do you feel like a failure when you went back home?
Oh, I thought that it was over. I mean, I thought, you know, and I've shared it in testimony and in sermons. I thought, well, now you've blown it. You know, it couldn't have been what God said to you when you were just a little kid. You're going to be a preacher. That, you know, that's out the window now. You done messed it up. So I went through a really tough time after that, questioning God, questioning my own salvation, wondering if I wanted my own salvation. Was everything I taught really true? And really had to kind of build back from that point.
That wasn't something that happened overnight, was it? No, that had to take some time to do that. So, how did you meet Linda?
We met at another church, which actually is no more. We met at Hillcrest Church back in 2003. And we were going to a class called the Teach. I was there, or the church at the time wanted everybody who was going to teach to go to that class. And I was there because I had just been through the Bethel Bible program. I don't know if you know anything about that, but it's a two-year thing that you're supposed to go on and teach after you've taken it. You're supposed to have made a commitment to go on and teach it. And so with that in mind, I went to their little class, and Linda was there. She tells a story about not wanting to go that day, and the Lord urging her to go. And then they put us in groups, and we started talking.
She was in your group.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Yeah, lucky me.
So after a while, and y'all fell in love, and you got married, and you look back at your life so far, you feel like one point you've been a failure, now God has restored you back to where your faith was, back to where it was supposed to be. You've married the person that you feel like God had called you to do. The question that had you ever resolved the question yet that you would ever get a chance to be a preacher yet?
I had kind of put that on the back burner. I had redefined it over the years, trying to think, well, maybe it means this, maybe it means this. I know now, I'm convinced now, that it means exactly what I understood it to mean even at that tender age. That God spoke exactly what he intended to speak, and I understood what he was saying. But I had tried to redefine it several ways, but I was coming back to the realization that this is really, God meant what he said, but I didn't know necessarily how that was going to come to pass. I wasn't making any plans for it. You started asking me to preach, and I went ahead and did that. But it was sort of, I'm not going to say it was by accident. It was by design. God was putting all this together and brought me here. And it was when Anna cursed me. We haven't seen her in a while.
Well, she still cleans the church, but yeah, she's been having to work on Sundays, I think.
But she called me, wanting me to do her wedding, and I said, well, you know what? I'm not actually licensed to do your wedding. I can't do your wedding. And then I talked to you about it, and you said, well, it's time you got that straightened out. And it wasn't long after that that we had the ordination here, and I finally began to see, it took me that long, I finally began to see how God was putting in all the pieces all throughout my life. Even with the dumb moves I made, even with the mistakes I made, he was orchestrating my life to bring me exactly where he wanted me, and to teach me that it was never about me. It was never something. He didn't say, you know, some of God's promises are conditional. He says, if you'll do this, I'll do this. But that wasn't that kind of thing. He didn't say, you'll be a preacher if you fly, if you behave right.
Yeah.
He didn't say, he didn't give me a list of conditions. In fact, what he gave me was prophecy. What he gave me was, you're going to be a preacher. And I didn't really have a whole lot to do with that. That was predetermined. He decided that I would say, I guess, before the beginning of time, because he knew us all from before the end. And to finally come to that place, you know, I've talked about Thomas before. I really identify with Thomas, and I feel like I'm kind of in that same boat where I had to see it. I had to actually see it happen before I finally got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you look back and have some regrets, some things that you would have liked to have done differently, if you could have?
I don't know if you can live much beyond childhood and not have a few of those.
No, absolutely.
But on the other hand, I mean, certainly, if you had the chance to erase and go back and do it right, who wouldn't? But at the same time, I also know that all of those things that happened gave me who I am today, gave me the understanding that I have today. And yeah, of course I would do things differently if I had it to do over again. But at the same time, I am who I am because of all of that.
If I were to ask you, what's your strength? What is your gift? Tell me what you think that is.
Well,
and I know it's hard for you to talk about yourself and say something good about yourself, but it's in there. You tell me, what is it that strength that God has given you that has helped you be the person you are today?
I guess the two things that I would say probably are the most helpful. I think of a lot of things that aren't so helpful, but two of the most helpful things I think is just the ability to study and understand and relate back what I understand. At least I hope I do a good job of that. I don't know. And having a pretty even temper, I think, has served me well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't rattle easy. I don't get angry easy. I don't offend easy.
Good.
And I think that's helpful, especially if you're going to be in the ministry.
Absolutely. You know, if those were the things I see you in you too. You're so even tempered. Now, I look at you as a patient person. Now, at home, that may be a whole different thing because I'm patient sometimes, but sometimes at home, I'm not so much patient. But I think that's a couple of gifts that God has given us that we don't get angry very easily, and we can have patience when we need to have patience. And I admire that in you. If there was some person in your life that really changed you, who do you think that would have been?
It changed me?
Who really? Now, I know your parent, and I don't want you to use your parents or even Linda. I want you to think back on somebody who said something to you. You know, you said that teacher in high school really helped. I want you to think about somebody in your past that really made a difference in your life.
Well, you know, I guess if I would have to pick one person, it might be the pastor not the senior pastor, but the pastor of what sort of started life as a college and career group and then grew into something else because nobody would leave. but his name was Ken Yonke, and what he built there, I think, showed me better than I had ever seen anywhere before what a church ought to be about. He really, he taught us to love people. He taught us to care about people. He taught us to reach out to people. And I, a lot of what I think I understand about how a church should operate comes from watching some of the things that he did. And I would say that in that respect, he probably influenced me more than any single person outside of my dad.
That's a great gift to learn. To learn how to love people. I can't imagine anything more important.
Well, I wish I could say that I had learned it well. I told him one time, I wish I could just follow you around. Mm-hmm. I don't think one of the weaknesses I have is that I don't know how to relate to people very easily. And find it challenging to open up communication and to keep it sometimes to keep it going. If they initiate, if they keep it going, I'm good.
Yeah.
Talk with them all day and love it.
Yeah.
But I'm not very good at those opening moves.
Yeah. I am so thrilled that Linda talked you into coming with her that Sunday. When she came, I remember the first Sunday she came after Lori and Sammy's birthday party. Was it Lori's birthday or Sammy's?
Sammy's?
Yeah. And it was here at the church, and she came, and And she came about and said, you got to come. And you, I knew you weren't real excited about this. It's not something that, but you came. And I remember you told me something about Sunday school. What was it you told me about, Priscilla?
Well, it was kind of funny, actually, because the church so much reminded me of the small churches that my dad, one in particular, up in Kansas City, reminded me so much of that little church where Dad used to pastor. And you know, everything was very, very traditional. I hadn't been around long enough to have Joel come in yet.
Yeah.
Very traditional, very... and then Priscilla gets up, and that day she's calling out words of knowledge to people. And I'm thinking, well, there's a little bit more here going on than I thought. it sort of cued me in. You know what? You could probably be here and be who you are and not have to. Because a lot of times in traditional settings, you have to, if you believe something different, you sort of have to keep it under your hat.
Yeah.
And I could see that wasn't going to be a problem here.
Yeah. We are so fortunate to have you and Linda part of this ministry. I can't tell you how much it means to my family to have you here, but to this ministry, we have grown so much. My dad would have loved you, Larry. He would have absolutely loved you and Linda and been so excited about y'all being here, just as he was excited to see anybody come in here. He was one of those people that could love, you know, everybody. He would have certainly cared about you because you care so much about this ministry and y'all mean so much. Is anybody out there that has a question or something they'd like to say to Larry before we end this thing? Chris.
Did you ever go through a time, Larry, where you was not mad at God, but just didn't understand why you had to go through your disability?
Oh, I don't mind saying I was mad. I knew better. I knew I shouldn't be, but I was still mad.
Yeah,
I
would think that'd be very difficult.
And, you know, because we had prayed and, you know, because I knew my parents to be some of the most godly people I knew, so I was like, you know, I can understand, Lord, why you don't listen to me, but how come you didn't listen to them?
Right.
And it was really a struggle, particularly through my 20s. It started to get better as I got older. But I did really struggle with that. And it really wasn't until things started to come together and I started to see how God was bringing everything into place that I finally was able to get past that. And I confess, there are still days when, not so much for myself, although as when I watch what Linda goes through sometimes, there's still days I get a little snippy. it's like, Lord, what is going on here? Yeah, I know. And I make this declaration on a regular basis. Lord, I choose to trust you. I don't get it. I don't understand. This doesn't make sense to me. But where else am I going to go? I choose to trust you.
Amen. I want to know how Lori and Sammy Genova
just
50th birthday party.
Well, I met Lori at it was a market research group.
Oh, market research.
Yeah, that they had put together, and that's where I met her.
Oh, okay.
And so she invited me here for the birthday.
That was exciting.
Yeah. Anybody else before we pray? Larry, let me pray with you. I'm going to just speak blessings on you and your family. I know you know, but I want everybody to know what a difference you make in this church and how I'm just telling you, I'm speaking a word of knowledge here to you. God is so pleased with you and Linda that God is so thrilled with what you're doing that his heart is just busting for joy for what you and Linda have done for us. And I just mean that from the bottom of my heart. Heavenly Father, as I lift Larry up to you and as we talk about what an important person he is, Father, he does so many things. Lord, you have given him such wisdom and ability to do things that most sighted people can't do, Father. You have not limited him in anything, Father, and I just thank you for that. I thank you for the upbringing that he was able to go through as a young child. Father, there are struggles in his family. I know he's struggling in some family things, Father. And I just pray that if it's your will, Lord, that those things will be resolved and things will be back to where they're supposed to be. And brothers and sisters and family are back together like you had wanted them to be. Father, thank you. Bless this family, Father, continue to give them good health, and we speak financial blessings and spiritual blessings and blessings of good health on them, Father. Father, we want them to continue to be leading this ministry in years to come, Father. Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace in all of our lives. Father, I thank you for every person in this auditorium today, what they mean to us, Father, and I just speak blessings on all of them. Father, thank you for your chance to sit and talk with Larry, Father, and I just pray that this will be a blessing and his testimony will be something that can inspire and encourage all people, Father, that hear this. That we are not limited by anything. God, you're an unlimited God. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.